Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a mundane conversation about something ordinary. Thank you for listening. We hope you listen and sleep. My name is Marco Timpano, and joining me is Amanda Barker.
Hi.
Amanda, I wanted to talk about cobblers and shoe repair today.
So not peach and apple.
No, I love peach and apple cobbler. I love a peach cobbler, actually.
I haven't had a peach cobbler in a long time.
What's your favorite flavor of cobbler?
Rhubarb.
Ooh, a rhubarb. Yeah. Rhubarb on its own or mixed with something?
For me, rhubarb and apple. I know strawberry and rhubarb is the more classic combo, but I don't like strawberries. So a rhubarb apple, tangy and sweet, that would be a great cobbler.
Okay.
Now, how about you?
I love a peach cobbler. I think that's my favorite cobbler. Mm-hmm. I feel like because everyone says peach cobbler, it's my go-to cobbler.
Your cobbler of choice?
It is definitely my cobbler of choice. A good peach cobbler at the right time of year, nothing's better.
So how are two very different nouns both called cobbler? And I know that there's a grammatical term for that, and now I'm not remembering what it is.
Sure.
Two things that are the same word with very different meanings.
Well, that's a good question, Amanda. I can tell you what makes a cobbler different than a crumble or a crisp.
That would be great.
But I don't know what makes it different than someone who repairs your shoes.
I've never understood the difference between a crisp, a cobbler, and a, what was the other one?
A crisp, a cobbler, and a crumble.
And a crumble. And then isn't there also a buckly or something? Buckle. Blueberry
buckle. A buckle, that's right.
Yeah.
Though today's episode is about shoes, so I don't want to go down the food route too much.
The dessert path? Yeah. Okay, well, we can come back to that.
A cobbler has a biscuit topping on it on fresh fruit.
Okay.
So there's that. A crumble and crisps are very similar, with the name crumble originating from England.
Okay.
They both contain fresh fruit with a streusel-like topping that gets baked until the fruit is cooked.
I always think of a crumble as having oatmeal involved and walnuts involved, and sure, then a crisp just as the brown sugar butter combo.
Fair enough.
Which is my go-to, really. In any event, none of those are somebody who can repair the strap of my heels.
So tell me about going a trip to the cobbler for you.
When I was little, it's funny because I don't know if people realize, but I don't know what the topic is going to be until I'm in this room usually. So my first thing when I think of when I hear the word cobbler in terms of shoe cobbler is when I was little, my mom would always talk about going to the cobbler. And of course, she's from Massachusetts, so she'd pronounce a cobbler. And I was a little kid on the South Shore of Massachusetts growing up until I was 13. And our cobbler was in the grocery store.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He had a little booth. If you can picture like a Walmart that has a McDonald's sort of at one end.
Sure.
Well, that was our Stop and Shop, but it was a cobbler. You know, not a McDonald's or a nail salon or whatever else. You know, sometimes with these big grocery stores, you can have this sort of little side kiosk or business. So ours was just past the checkout. There was a cobbler. And I remember the wall was green of the cobbler's place. So that's how I remember it anyway, sort of a mint green.
I see.
And my mom would always take shoes to him, like a bag of shoes, our shoes. Straps, heels broken, leather repair, you know, stretching things out maybe would be part of it, but any type of shoe repair. How about you? What was your first experience with a cobbler?
It's interesting because for me, I don't think I went to a cobbler when I was younger.
No?
No, I can't recall going to cobblers.
It was part of the errands that my mom would do. She'd be like, we have to go to the cobbler. We have to go to the consignment shop. And, you know, we'd have bags of our clothes and consign them. And then there's a bakery next door. So I loved going to the consignment shop because it smelled like fresh gingerbread always next door.
Now, that said, we have a cobbler not too far from where we live, or at least when we drive on this one street to go north of the city, mm-hmm. we always pass this cobbler.
Yeah, we used to go to a guy who was from the same area of Italy as your dad was, from Calabria.
Who was that?
Well, the Calabrese, I think his name was Frank.
Where was that cobbler? I don't remember.
That was on DuPont. We used to go to him.
DuPont in what?
But across from the grocery store. They seem to always be around grocery stores. But he hasn't been there in a long time.
Right.
But that was the first place we used to go.
That was our cobbler.
Yeah, and then he shut it all down. Because like so many cobblers, he was, you know, he wasn't young.
Right.
And so then I was sort of on a, you know, I was out to find a new cobbler. And they're not easy to find, especially not ones that are open and reliable. And, you know, they almost always only take cash, which right. is challenging.
It almost seemed like cobbling was a dying art form.
It did.
Can I tell you the etymology of the word cobbler? In
sure.
reference to shoe repair?
Yeah.
Well, the term cobbler was originally used pejoratively to indicate that someone did not know their craft in the 18th century.
Really?
Yeah.
You cobbled it together.
I guess, yeah. Well, sorry, in the 18th century, it became a term for those who repaired shoes but did not know enough to make them. So you could repair them, but you couldn't make them.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, late 13th century, the surname and place names were cobblier in France, which mm-hmm. meant one who mends shoes.
Okay, that's a place name as well.
That's what it says here.
Yeah. Cobblier.
Cobblier.
I would think.
Sure.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Once that shop closed down, we found another one.
So I went out looking.
Right.
And it's I find a cobbler's one of those things where you know, you're out, you're never looking for it. You're out for a drive and it's a sunny day. Yes, your cobbler finds you. And so, anyway, we were near our home and I looked and it said cobbler and it was a fresh new sign. And I thought, oh, that's exciting, like a new cobbler just a little bit north of us. So and there was even parking next door, bonus. So we went next door and I walked in and a very lovely Persian man was there. And I was in the middle of reading Prisoner of Tehran. So I had a long talk with him about Iran and
sure.
Persian culture, and it was really lovely. He was so lovely. He takes cash only, but he does amazing work, and he's smart. He gets you to pay up front, which is very smart, because how many people leave their old shoes and then just don't come back for
sure.
them?
Sure. What shoes were you bringing to this gentleman at the time?
Probably my heels. I actually had a pair of wedge heels that I loved that actually I got in a clothing swap, so I wasn't even the first owner of them. They were, see if you remember them, they were blue, sort of canvas blue wedges. And how did I break the heels? Well, you and I were in Atlanta and we went to the Coca-Cola factory.
Museum.
Yes, the Coca-Cola Museum, yes.
Right.
And I call it a factory because there is a a massive room where you test something like over 100 different flavors of Coke. Yeah, Coke products. So all
from all over the world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Anything citrusy, anything root beery, anything tangy, whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything they make, there's fountains like you'd see in any fast food chain, but they're all over. The walls are lined with them, and you can just go up and taste whatever. Well, that particular day, there was a problem with their cleaning systems or something, and the entire floor was sticky, like a sticky syrup from people, I guess, dripping the soda.
There were so many of these fountain areas that you would, you know, you would put your cup there and fill up, and then you'd quickly remove the cup, drink it, and go to another fountain. So in that process of filling, taking, drinking,
yeah,
there was some splashes to be had.
And now that we talk about it, it doesn't sound very hygienic, does it? Like it sounds, you know. Anyway, so there was some problem with their cleaning. Anyway, the entire floor was just, imagine walking in a layer of like syrup.
Sure.
And so it was quite sticky, and people were remarking on it, but whatever. And it was so sticky that the bottom part of my wedge heels separated from the rest of the shoe. Like I went to walk and the entire bottom part of the shoe was still on the floor and I walked out of it.
It was as if your shoe melded with the sticky floor and became more part of the floor than part of your foot.
So I complained and they gave me a pair of Coca-Cola flip-flops, which I think we still have somewhere. And so that's what I wore the rest of the day. And then I loved the shoes so much that instead of just, you know, throwing them away, I needed a cobbler. So I took them to that Persian cobbler, and we've had a good relationship ever since.
What is the typical reason you need to go to a cobbler? Is it heel related, strap related, width related?
For me, and I want to ask the same question of you, but for me, it is always heel related because I subpronate. Most people either pronate or subpronate, and that's how you walk on your feet. So you can walk on the outside or like the inside edges of your heels or the outside edges of your heels. If you look at the back of people, and sometimes you can really, it's really pronounced. It always becomes more pronounced in winter shoes, and we live in a winter climate, you know, 7 months out of the year, whatever it is. So heels of boots for me, a pair of heels that I wear a lot for when I have to wear heels, like for corporate stuff that we do, they can take a beating. But heels of boots are probably the number one. And I've learned to buy better quality boots because if you buy sort of cheap kind of fashion-y, you know, boots, usually those heels are hollow. So once you've walked on the side enough, it'll pop off the bottom and then you've got a hollow heel that's really loud that you're walking on and you can't really use the shoe anymore.
Wait, the heel itself is hollow? Meaning that
the inside of the heel. So if you have like a chunky heel.
Okay.
So imagine a pair of women's brown leather boots.
Okay.
That zip up at the side.
Sure.
I've had many over the years, so you can imagine most of them.
Mm-hmm.
If they are cheaply made, then the heel of that boot is usually hollow.
Okay.
So once you've worn it down a bit, you know, because you love those boots and you wear them all fall or whatever, if the bottom part of the heel pops off, the little sort of black attachment that buffers.
The cap, if you will.
Sure.
I don't know what else to call it. Sure.
Once that pops off, it's hollow inside. And usually you're done. But if you really love those boots and you have a good cobbler, they can put a much more substantial heel made out of, you know, cork or just a sturdy, not hollow product. I have learned, though, to not buy boots like that from trial and error over the years. And I personally, especially when it comes to footwear, I'd rather spend money once and wear those boots for several seasons, several years, than, you know, buying a new pair every year, which is what happens when you buy cheap ones if you subpronate like I do.
So that part of the heel is called the top lift.
Oh.
And the heel part that we know, or under the heel, so the part of the heel that would be facing your toe, let's say. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's called the heel breast. And the heel is the actual heel as we know it.
Oh, interesting. So what do you normally have to go to a cobbler for?
So here's my cobbler adventure.
Okay.
And it also deals with boots.
Okay.
So clearly, living in Canada, we do face cold weather for 5 months out of the year, I would say, November to April. We wear boots when it gets really cold.
Yeah.
I had a pair of leather boots that I got on sale after Christmas years ago.
Right.
And they were still not inexpensive.
Right.
But I could tell they were well made. I loved these boots. They zipped all the way up past my mid-calf, so they were high and comfortable.
You had them so long. You had them when I met you.
Yeah.
And that is now probably 15 years ago.
I no longer have them, by the way.
But you I had very for, recently
yeah, I had them for a good 10, 12 years.
And you had them recent. You actually looked for them this year. And you're like, did I get rid of them?
Yeah. So those boots were tied, tested, and true. They just could face anything.
Tried, tested, and true?
I think, yeah.
Tied.
Tied. Did I say tied?
Yeah.
So the front of the shoe came off. So if I look on that chart that I was looking
on
before,
flapping?
The welt of the shoe separated from the boot. So the welt being the front part of the where you step versus the heel, I guess where you're stepping off from, that on my right foot came off. So I took it to the cobbler. Our cobbler, the one you mentioned, the Persian gentleman, repaired it like a champ. 2 years later, that part, because it was weak at this point, I even forget the name of that, the welt, separated again.
Right.
Brought it to the cobbler. And he's like, okay, you don't have that many repairs on this boot left. There's only so much we can do. And I think the welt came off the boot. Because you know when you take off your boots, for those of us who wear winter boots, sometimes you'll put the heel and you'll use the other boot and push on your heel to remove it.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to do that because they'll, like my rain boots will just suction into my feet if I don't do that.
It's about being lazy. If you sit and remove the boot with your two hands, you won't encounter this. But if you're in a hurry, you want to get it out from the cold, oftentimes you'll just stand there and with one foot, you'll push the heel off and then with the other. So I'm sure I affected the welt by doing that.
Right.
So I brought it the second year and he's like, there's not much shoe left on the bottom for me to adhere.
They were over 10 years old, definitely, at that point.
When I had worn the tread away.
You wore them everywhere. You would walk in the winter. Because the thing about those boots, see, there's different levels of boots in Canada. We have our sort of fall or spring boots, which for women, like I said, a brown leather pair that maybe zips on the side or kind of slouches, and you can wear them with
skirts.
You
also have plenty of black leather pairs. Like you're focused on brown, but you also have...
I'm going to say this. I have two pairs of long boots, and that's it. One brown and one black.
Only two?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Only two. I've gotten rid of everything else.
Okay, fair enough.
But and they're both quality boots.
But you've had... several in the past that
I have. I've trial and error, like I said. For the record, my black ones are Birkenstock boots.
Okay.
They're very heavy and very wide. So I always feel a little bit punky wearing them because they're wide and long black leather. And when I say wide, I mean wide in the footbed. So they're.
When you say punky, what do you mean by punky?
Well, they're not sleek.
Oh,
so they have a Doc Marten kind of look versus, you know, a more slimmer look. My brown ones are slimmer, and I forget the name of this. Kenneth Cole? Where did I get them? Anyway.
I don't know, but let's go back to my welts, my sore welts.
My point is, those boots that you're talking about, mm-hmm. you could wear them in the fall and they just look like black boots.
Yeah.
Or you could wear them, and this is what's unique, because usually you can't, when it's really icy and really snow, you have to get into things that look like you're walking on the moon.
Sure.
But those ones you actually could wear. They were that good.
Yeah. So he repaired them one more time, and then the following year, they really separated. You know how when you watch animations for kids and boots talk and it looks like it has a mouth?
Yeah.
That was my boot.
Totally.
So what I did was, all right, I'm going to cobble it together myself.
You did it?
Yeah. So I got some extra super strength.
I don't remember this.
I got some, here's where cobble goes wrong, folks. I got some extra strength glue that's used in, when you're adhering things together on an industrial scale.
Okay.
So industrial glue that one would use if you're doing repair to concrete, let's say, or mm-hmm. to something that requires great adhesion. So I put that on the bottom, on the welt, pressed it together with the sole, and some of the glue kind of seeped out. So my boot looked like it had a growth coming from it, because all this glue kind of just seeped out and it bubbled and grew. And I tried to cut the glue away, but it wouldn't shape properly.
So oh my gosh.
One boot looked malformed. So cobbling is a lot harder than one would think. And that's why my...
Those boots had to... Our good friend Dale says, they owed you nothing.
They owed me absolutely nothing. And so that was the end of those boots. But I've gone to the cobbler for other things. Heel-related things.
Yeah.
Stretching. Have you ever gone for stretching to the cobbler?
I haven't gone for stretching. I don't know if I believe in stretching. I mean, it has to be really good leather for it to work. And even then, I don't know. I mean, I think a good shoe has a bit of stretch in it, but not enough that you should be able to just go and stretch it out. I always think stretching is wishful thinking. I don't think if a pair of shoes are too tight, they're still going to be too tight. So I think it's time to pass those on, even if you got them for a good deal or whatever. That's the problem. You try them on in the store and they fit, and then but a day out in a pair of shoes is a whole different ball game, right? And that's actually why I got Birkenstock boots, because I wanted a pair of boots that looked good and that were leather, but that I could stand in all day long, and you can stand in Birkenstocks all day long. So they were worth the extra penny for those. And then I got another pair of brown ones that are equally comfortable, and that's it. And then I have short black ones. But the other reason I've gone to a cobbler is I actually was about to go last spring.
To the cobbler?
Yeah. I got a pair of Prada heels that are too big, and I thought maybe he could fill in the heel a little bit so they wouldn't slip off.
Right.
Again, I kind of feel like it's wishful thinking, and maybe I should just, you know, sell them or pass them on to have a better life. They were given to me in a clothing swap, so... You know, which I was, they were just out, and they were in the dust cover in the box, and I was like, I might take these. And even though they were a bit loose, I was like, I'll make them work.
Right.
And we do that so often. And now they're just sort of sitting.
They're sitting somewhere?
Yeah, they're up my nice heels and my expensive heels. And I don't have a ton, but, well, you and I could debate that, I suppose. But I was thinking about it. They kind of almost... feel like little, I don't know, like, you know, we don't have the space to have a big collection, and nobody really wants a big collection of anything these days. You just, something that just sits. And so shoes are one of the last great sort of collector things, right?
Well, they're practical because you need them, but they also take up room.
Right.
And you need more than, you know, a pair. So.
And women do, I mean, it's like a dress. You don't wear it the same one to everything.
Sure.
Some people do.
You need more than a pair for...
You do. So then it becomes a, you know, one of the few things like jewelry that you can kind of collect, right? Because, you know, most of us don't collect crystal figurines anymore. Or sure. When I was a kid, China dolls, I had them all
right.
on a shelf. And so my shoes are kind of taking that position.
Space.
Because the truth is I'm not wearing – I have some beautiful heels, but I'm not really wearing them. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out what to do. That was the last time I had the inclination to go to the cobbler, and then he was closed. And I haven't had a need to wear those heels. So
and, that particular cobbler – retired and was replaced by a new cobbler.
Oh.
Right? A younger cobbler.
Oh, his son or something.
Yeah.
Or somebody was training with him. That's true.
You know, we started the episode by saying it's a profession that we see diminishing, but it's actually on the resurgence.
It is.
People.
And the trades are in general. And so they should be. We need them.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I need
a cobbler.
A cobbler.
What do you look for before we end the show?
Oh, gosh.
In a good cobbler. Like, what do you
expect?
Can
we do one on shoes? Because I have so
we'll
many.
We'll do an episode for the Patreon page that we need to on shoes.
Okay.
So we'll do that for our patrons.
Because I really have some beautiful shoes
we'll
I'd like to
discuss.
We'll talk
about shoes right after this. But let's focus on the cobbler.
What do I look for in a cobbler?
Now, I love the smell of going to a cobbler.
Oh,
now,
God.
Yeah, because there's all those kind of glues and whatnot, so it has a really strong,
but people's funky shoe foot smell.
Oh, no, but I only smell the glue and things like that.
The leather,
the glue.
A lot of times cobblers don't just cobble shoes. They do belts and bags and things like that. So there is usually a nice leather kind of smell that does emanate. I mean, definitely that's the smell you want.
We have a leather man shop not far
from here. Yeah, he calls himself the Leather Man.
Right.
Right.
But he's no cobbler.
He's not?
No, he doesn't cobble.
He just does leather.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Oh, he makes stuff.
He makes leather goods.
I've never been in there. So
neither. I went in once. It was very, very pricey for what they had.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, back to the cobbler. What do you look for in a good cobbler?
Someone who's friendly.
Okay.
Someone who, bonus, if they give you your shoes in a nice bag and not an old shopping bag, which is what they all do, an old grocery store plastic bag.
Okay.
Somebody who can find my shoe even if I can't find the little ticket, because I usually can't find the little ticket.
Right.
It's somewhere in my car or
what
in
do they
my
ask
purse.
You when they're like,
what's the ticket? And I don't have it. And then I describe it. And then I'm shown a lot of other shoes, and then I can see it usually on the shelf and point to it, and that takes some doing.
So your trip to a cobbler is the extended affair, if you will.
I don't mind paying a decent price. I think some people would say, oh, it's too expensive.
Right.
I don't – and the older I get, I'm probably felt differently in my 20s, but the older I get, the more I'm happy to pay for good work and the more I'm happy to pay – for quality.
Inevitably, it's cheaper than buying a new pair of shoes.
It is. And if you love a pair of shoes, spend the money and get them. And I would just say this, if people are still awake, and even if they're not, maybe in your dreams, you know, if you spend the money on it, then you will spend less money. I don't remember what I was going to say.
That's fine. That's fine.
My mind drifted.
It's all good. Well, with your drifting mind and our close of the cobbler episode, I think it's time to say a farewell to our listeners. Or not a farewell, but a farewell to this episode. I like a cobbler who can look at your shoe that needs repair and tell you what they can do.
Oh, and what they can't do.
And what they can't. But generally speaking, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I can fix this. All right. I have to do is stretch the leather here, hammer the nail there,
right,
et cetera, et cetera.
I would just say, in general, buy quality because quality is easier to fix.
There you go.
Everything will break down eventually, but quality will take longer to break down, and then you have somebody who can help it versus a hollow plastic heel.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this quality episode of the Insomnia Project.
I hope people walk safely.
And we hope you had the opportunity to listen and repair your shoes and then sleep.